second hour. Darren Donick and Chase and D-Mace. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here at Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Canucks tonight at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6. Everything heard right here on these airways. David Poyle will join us in about 10 minutes or so. Willie Donick will also join us in just a bit as well. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Now, I said, okay, the Bills. Everybody's falling in love with the Bills. Everybody's starting to fall in love with the Rams. Everybody's been in love with the 49ers here of late, right? They were the sexy pick last week that played out. That was the one upset special.
Colts were for
in
a
wild card weekend. Okay? The Chiefs, you already know, people are in love with. And I'm just curious, and I'm asking you guys, when Chase, you said, yo, Russell Wilson, but what is it that the people aren't in love with that? Like, what is it? So, did the Titans play the Bills this year?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who won?
Titans.
Did the Titans play the Chiefs this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who won?
Titans.
How many points did the Chiefs score?
30, wasn't it? They didn't score
zero.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Or three points. Scored 3 points.
I was thinking of the previous
3 points.
Year.
Chiefs scored three. You know, the offense you cannot stop. 3 points.
Uh-huh. But that was also before their playmaker.
I'm asking. Okay, they played.
They did.
Okay. Did the Titans play the Rams this year?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Where was that game?
L.A.
L.A.
It was a national television, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who won?
Titans.
Did they have Derrick Henry?
Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't have Derrick Henry. It was the first game out, right? Mm-hmm. Did the Titans play the 49ers, which everybody's unstoppable right now?
Yeah.
Who won that game?
Titans.
So
Jimmy G threw him in the second row.
Exactly. What am I missing on why everybody's in love with everybody else but the Titans? What is their resume? By the way, go look at the Bucks. And I get it. It's Tom Brady, and they're the defending Super Bowl champs. Down the stretch, it's like Carolina twice, the Falcons twice, the Jets. It's like, okay, is their resume the who's who? No. Dallas. You know what they did this year? They beat up on their division. Great. They went 6-0 against the Giants, the Eagles, and Washington. Great. And I get it. The Titans division wasn't any better. Where does it warrant that their resumes are like, oh my gosh, like everybody was like Dallas, everybody, the Bucks, I get it, they've earned that. But they didn't beat anybody. Who's got the resume that the Titans do? So if your answer is nobody, then why is no one believing them?
Well, I mean, the Bills' resume is probably closer to the Titans than anyone else because of the division the Bills played in. Now, Miami's tough. New England's tough and whatnot.
By the way, did the Titans play the Dolphins?
Yeah. And they beat the Dolphins.
Smoked them, right? Yeah. Beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah, it was sad.
But
here's the deal.
And they had won 8 in a row.
Yeah, I'm not a firm believer in Tua anyway. I think he's a good quarterback, but is he a starting quarterback? I don't know just yet.
You're saying probably you wouldn't tank for him?
No, I wouldn't tank. No. Okay. Hindsight 2020, no, I wouldn't tank for him. But you gotta understand this. It's all history. The Titans have never been anyone's favorite or sexy team. It didn't matter. When the Titans 2 years ago went on that magical run to the AFC Championship, nobody picked them. Nobody did. This was a team that got hot. Derrick Henry played lights out, and they were just basically bulldozing through everyone toward the latter part of the season. But the Tennessee Titans, even you know when we were 13-2 or 13-3 and 12-4, we were not the sexy team. This market is not a sexy market. So no matter what, unless they go 17-0 or 16-1. There's still going to be a question mark. Obviously, the question mark this year or the latter part of the season is Derrick Henry. Well, if Derrick Henry was fully healthy, I believe there still would be a question mark. You know the question mark? It would be the quarterback. Even though the quarterback, he hasn't played good this year.
And that's it right there.
Exactly. He hadn't played good this year, but the last couple of weeks he has come on.
Yep.
So the question mark with a healthy Derrick Henry – still would be, if they win this game, it would be the quarterback. Ken Ryan show up in the AFC Championship game? He didn't show up the last championship game. Mm-hmm. Can he show up this one? It doesn't matter. The Titans will always have a question mark.
Yep.
Okay, they have a question mark going into the Super Bowl.
You say the market's not sexy. Like, I would agree with you when mm-hmm. you played. But is the market not sexy today?
To everyone else,
this is like the hottest market in the country.
It's the hottest market for people to move into, but sports market.
Visit.
Yeah, come visit, move. Yeah. But sports market, no matter what, we've seen what the Preds have done. We've seen what the Titans have done and what they've continued
the
to do.
The draft was here.
I mean, the New Year's Eve, everything. It doesn't matter.
But it's not
like the Rock say, it doesn't matter. Okay? For some reason, this market hasn't been a market. That now you will have some analysts that say, hey, Tennessee's the team to beat. But as a whole, people will continue to pick Kansas City. People will continue to pick Buffalo because of their defense. And the Titans will be the third team.
Well,
for whatever reason.
Right. And I think a part of that is the culture that the head coach has come in and has set. He doesn't want all that. Belichick didn't want all that. Now it happened because they just kept winning. So people are constantly looking at New England and they were constantly talking about him and picking him to win everything. But Vrabel hasn't done it yet. He got him to the AFC Championship game and that was a heck of an accomplishment. But until they win something, people are just going to overlook them. But I think Vrabel likes that. He likes that chip on their shoulder and being able to kind of be bristly and go, yeah, okay, whatever. Let's show them. Because he's in that locker room and he's using that as motivation. I don't think they care, but you're right. It's like that with the Preds. It's like that with the Titans. You know, Nashville SC's new to the game, but it was like that with them because, oh, they're an expansion team and all they've done is make the playoffs their first 2 years of existence. So it is what it is. But I think that the quarterback is where a lot of this circles back to.
Let's go there because I do think that's an excellent point. Because I was thinking about this yesterday after the show, and there's nobody that yet we get it. The quarterback position is the most important. We get it. Mm-hmm. I've also been on here saying I understand it's important. Give them their own MVP award, and then let's have an MVP for everybody else. Mm-hmm. Give everybody else a chance. Because all you do is you just gravitate to the quarterbacks, and I get it. Give them their own award, mm-hmm. like Cy Young in baseball for pitchers, and then have an MVP award, and we'll talk about Cooper Kupp and T.J. Watt and everybody else that had a really, really Aaron Donald, all you know, great
Debo
season.
Debo Samuel,
right. Let's say those guys have no chance because it always goes to a quarterback. Anyway, I digress. So I started thinking about it. Okay, let's see. Who won the? Is that David's calling in? We'll play this game quickly. Who won the AFC South division? We'll start in the Titans division. Titans, right?
Titans. Yep.
Who's the best quarterback in the division?
Tannehill.
Right.
Yeah.
He is. Right.
He is the best quarterback.
Probably by default.
Who won the AFC East division?
The Bengals.
No.
Bills.
Who's
Bills.
The best quarterback in that division?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Who won the Bengals division, the North?
Bengals.
Who's the best quarterback in that division?
I say Lamar is. But this year, Burrow.
I know.
Burrow, yes.
I think it's pretty safe to say he looks like he is the real deal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think he's an MVP caliber quarterback.
Who won the AFC West?
Chiefs.
Yeah. Who's the best quarterback?
Mahomes.
Carr.
Do we have a theme developing here? Now, by the way, we could do the NFC. Start thinking about that in your head. We could do that on the other side because we've got David Poyle, who now joins us here on the program. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. You guys are excited about things today. I can see that.
Good. Yeah. Look, the snow is melting. There's a Preds game tonight. Titans are hosting a divisional round on Saturday. Hey, what's not to love in this market right now? Things are good.
Yeah, things are. That's. I love the sports scene in Nashville for sure. So we got to be continue to be a big part of that. So we've got to get back on track tonight against Vancouver.
Yeah, no doubt. And before we get into that, I did want to ask you, David. I was reading. I saw this morning on Twitter where there are people quoting their sources, or just saying sources are telling them that the NHL will no longer test asymptomatic players and staff following the All-Star break, provided COVID-19 rates continue to decline around the league. Testing will only then be done cross-border travel as required if symptoms arise. So it looks like the NHL is prepared, according to things I'm reading, according to their sources, that the things could change on that front. Are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, we are hearing the same thing, and that would be fabulous if that came to fruition, because as you know, we have had, and every team has had, a lot of players that have been tested positive for COVID but are having no symptoms. So again, if we could get into an asymptomatic situation, it would be fabulous. Again, and having said that, and to piggyback, I don't know the exact number, but we carry approximately 23 players on our roster, and I believe at least 15 or 16 have had the COVID. So, a team like Calgary basically had their whole team, so they don't even have to test anymore. Mm-hmm. And again, we're getting close to that with not only our team, but most teams. It's like everybody's almost had it. But that would be really good, and I hope we do that. I hope we're allowed to do that, and that would certainly make things a lot better for the NHL.
I know when I asked this question last week, you said you believe it's coming soon. Well, this is a week later. So here goes. Do you think that three-week window that's sitting there vacant right now, they're about ready to fill in some gaps here soon and find out these makeup games?
Yeah, they absolutely have. And just being honest with you, we've submitted our dates. We've had some discussion with the league, and I actually have some information as to tentatively when we would make up these games. And we're missing six games, and not some of them would be made up. A couple would be made up in March and April, and the others would be in February. But as I say that, they got to fit everybody into this, and they haven't quite got that done. So I don't think there's certainly not going to be the Olympic break. I can see, because teams like the Islanders have as many as 10 games to make up, that there'll be a break after the All-Star game, but I could see teams playing as early as a seventh. I don't know if that's going to be our case, but I fully expect during the Olympic break that we're going to play a minimum of 4 to 5 games during that period of time.
Okay. Dante Fabbro sustained a tough hit Saturday afternoon in Boston. Of course, that game meant a little bit more to him considering where he played his college hockey. Tough break for him. He was out of the lineup last night. He left the game on Saturday not to return. Do you have anything on Fabbro's status right now?
He's going to be out a little bit. We have 3 home games this week starting with tonight. I'm certainly not going to play in those games. I think we said day-to-day, but I think it's more week to week, so maybe more of an update, say next Monday. But I do not see him participate in these next 3 games for sure.
And because of learning that Matthias Ekholm had also tested positive before puck drop on Saturday, so he's been out the last couple of games. And what you just said about Dante Fabbro, that has left things a little bit thinner with defensemen. Is this going to create maybe an opportunity for maybe some guys we've seen here in the past that maybe have had a cup of coffee or two, guys that we've talked about, like Jeremy Davies or Ferentz or those guys, to maybe get a shot here sometime soon to play?
Yes, absolutely. I think this would be the time for that. I mean, a player like Davies got some games with us last year, played pretty well by virtue of our defense sort of coming together in training camp, and for the most part being healthy. He hasn't got an opportunity this year, but with both Fabbro and Ekholm out, as you just said, I think as soon as tonight, this could be his opportunity. And so this is a young player. If everybody remembers, we got him in the PK Subban deal, and I hope he gets to play tonight, because I'm looking forward to it, because I think he's got a real chance based on what we've seen in Milwaukee and what we saw last year. So it's not perfect, and you're not hoping for injuries, because that's not a good thing. But once again, we've had some pretty good success when we've been able to put in some of our newer or younger guys, and I believe Davies could get his opportunity tonight.
Speaking with Predators General Manager David Poile, along those lines, Myers has also opened up an opportunity for Phil Myers to see him a little bit. One, how do you think he's done, and what do you guys need to see more from him to obviously he wants to. He was a regular in Philadelphia. He hasn't been a regular on this roster. I'm sure he's expressed that he wants to be a regular. So what does he need to do better or more of to get better, to get more playing time?
I think whether it be Myers or if you're introducing a Davies into your lineup, I think you're looking for players that can be safe. I think oftentimes a player thinks that the way they have to come up and make the team or stay on the team is to produce, get points. And we don't need that right now. We just need guys that can be really good defensively. And as I said, safe, I think, is a good word. And in this case, I think less is better than more. Just, you know, do your job. Do not try to do anything that's either you're not capable of or it's a stretch to take risk. I mean, less risk and just be a safe, steady player. We got a lot of good things going for our team. You know, offensively, we're still scoring at a pretty good clip, but, you know, we've been giving up, you know, a few too many goals. And, you know, the game last night in St. Louis, I mean, I really liked our overall game other than for a few minutes of it, but, you know, there were some defensive mistakes. And I think just a safe, steady play, making the simple play, would be good enough for us right now.
Yakov Trenin got another goal last night, 10 now on the year. You guys will actually be at the midway point of your regular season tonight against Vancouver. He continues to get better and better. That line win together. Trenin, Sissons, and Jeannot have just been fantastic. They were really good last night. What are you seeing out of Trenin, his growth chart right now, as he seems to be going the right direction, getting better every game?
Well, just going back to last year when we put that line together, they were our fourth line, and they got decent minutes, but on most games they were fourth line in minutes. So look at the growth of Jeannot. Sissons as more the veteran leader on that line, and Trenin, and now they're playing, you know, for sure third minutes, and oftentimes they're playing second minutes on our team, and it's really given us that depth. And, you know, like oftentimes you say, well, you got one or two good offensive lines. Well, now we've got three lines that are actually producing, and last night was, you know, case in point, where the first line, Granlund's line, Forsberg got a goal. The second line, Joey got a goal, and the third line, Yak got a goal. So that's a, you know, perfect situation. But, you know, with 12 goals, Trenin with 10 goals, I mean, that's got to be a big reason why we're having success this year. So I like their trajectory. I love the way they play, the hardness of what they play. Again, that's they're part of the identity, which, you know, started last year with this being coined their herd line. And not only are they playing physical, but they're now producing, and they're a handful to handle.
David Poile is with us, Predators general manager, joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. And along those lines, David, of talking about scoring, we've heard you use the phrase secondary scoring quite a bit, and dealing with all the COVID issues and injuries that you would in a normal season, I feel like that this lineup has become a little bit of a, if a guy misses a few games, he can jump back in and pick up where he left off. Philip Forsberg is a good example because he did it last night. Now, obviously, he's, you know, a pretty good player in his own right, but to be able to see some guys that would have to come out of the lineup for COVID or what have you, and then be able to get back with their line mates and pick back up. Why do you think that that's been easier this year than maybe we've seen in the past?
Well, I just think overall that we are a better team this year, more cohesive, buying into the game plan, buying into this identity of how we want to play. And we've there's nothing more that you can have than in depth, and you got in a situation where guys do not want to miss any games because they like playing for this team, and they don't want to lose their spot. So we got a lot of good things going for us. And yes, in this radio show I mentioned the secondary scoring, but you know, we're getting that now. And so, you know, right now we have a lot of things, you know, going for us. I mean, we lost the game last night, I think, defensively. Getting three goals, we had some other really good looks. I thought there was lots of good things about the game and against a top team like St. Louis, but, you know, defensively giving up too many chances, some breakdowns on 2-on-1s that led to three goals for St. Louis. I mean, we have to be sounder than that. But I think that's a curable, you know, situation. And guys, as I just said earlier about when you're asking me about the defense, just playing a little bit more safer game, less risk, and you know, not taking so many offensive, you know, risks, if you will, and just playing a good sound game on defense. So again, I like where we're going. I like everybody else. I wish we were a little bit healthier on the back end with Ekki and Fabro. Those are two big guys to have out. But I like where we're going right now.
I did want to ask you about something that, you know, I don't want to stir anything up, but with the All-Star game, and obviously Juice gets the nod, and it's well-deserving. I know with the 3-on-3 format, you're not seeing as many defensemen get in, but for Roman to be put on the last man in ballot, you know, to me, I didn't agree with that. I thought with the season that he's had, he deserved the nod, but do you think that that's something that maybe the league needs to look at, even though they want to keep this 3-on-3 format, but you're going to have some good players get left out because of the position in which they play?
No, absolutely. It's a hard format. I mean, if you remember, we went to the 3-on-3 format back in Nashville, which was a huge mm-hmm. success, and I think that's still great and the right thing to do, but it's probably losing its luster. So I think we got to keep reinventing ourselves for our players and for our fans, for these all-star games. I mean, we've, you know, the skills is a big part of it. We've seen the Zegras goal from to Milano from behind the net. I think there's different things that we can do. I mean, maybe we should get the guys that have the five hardest shots. Maybe that should be part of it. And they're not necessarily all-stars, but maybe they have the five hardest shots. Or maybe there's some guys that have these trick plays, if you will, like Zegras, and maybe they should be part of it. But having said that, you know, we're in a situation right now, which I agree with, is that you have to have at least one representative from every team, and I think that that's the right way to do it. Maybe other people disagree with that, but I think that's devastating if your team wasn't represented in the All-Star game. So, you know, it's not like there's 40 players anymore, because you're taking less players from, you know, from each division. So it's going to be tough. I mean, Cerro's clearly deserve to play in the game, and there's going to be only a couple of teams that are going to have more than one player in the All-Star game. So, you know, again, then we have this fan voting, which is good for them to participate. But, you know, I could make a argument, let's say Roman doesn't get in, that there would be a player come from a bigger market or something,
sure,
something like that. So I don't know if we have a perfect situation, but I'll go with what I said earlier. I think we got to keep tweaking it and, you know, to get the best players. And another thing that you have is you have, you know, you're going to have injuries. And then I'll be very honest with you. I think there's some players that don't want to play. Like, you know, they might have a reason, whether they're tired or an injury or, you know, some other factors. So we got to work on it. It's not a perfect situation. But to your point, is Roman an all-star? I think he is. And maybe we'll see the true all-star team announced at the end of the year, which is the all-star team, and hopefully he'll be part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're about 2 months away from the trade deadline. Do you anticipate things, chatter starting to pick up around now, or do you still think it might be around the all-star break?
I think it's going to pick up shortly. The reason I say that is most teams are just in the process of having or have had their organizational meetings, which we did last week, both a couple days for our pro scouts and a couple days for our amateurs. So, you know, you get a lot of thoughts and ideas at that time, and you review our team, and you review every team in the league as to what they may want to do or where they are, and you know, it prompts some some phone calls and some conversation. But you know, we're still, as you said, we're still a fair ways away from the trading deadline, and we're still dealing with this COVID and players being out and rosters being a little short, and we're dealing with a lot of teams are at the cap. So the closer you get to the trading deadline, the more money teams will have to spend. So the answer is, I think it's going to start picking up, but you know, it'd be probably more like coming out of you know, February, when you see things pick up and some more trades get done at that time.
David, we appreciate it as always. Hopefully everything will get back on track tonight against Vancouver. Big week this week, all at home the rest of the way, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Talk to you next week. Thank you.
Always Bye-bye. Enjoy it. Predators General Manager David Poile. Remember, Tuesdays at 11:15. A lot of good stuff in there. So looks like they, you know, we'll be knowing. We'll know here soon. Remember, the Predators don't have a ton. He said six games to make up, but there are teams that have a lot more to make up. He referenced the Islanders.
Oh, they have
the
a ton,
Flames. Yeah. I mean, especially the Canadian teams. They had a lot of making up to do, but hopefully, we'll know soon what that schedule is going to look like.
It sounds like some teams could get a longer break than others.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it
is. That's the way I took it.
Yeah.
Also, sounds like Dante Fabbro will not be a part of this homestand, unfortunately, because of the hit he sustained Saturday in Boston. And he also said, I took it, maybe a little nugget there, that Jeremy Davies could be making his debut tonight.
Yeah.
Season debut tonight.
Could be.
For the Predators.
Nice camp. So,
yeah.
Curious to see that.
All right. We will come back. More on the other side. Mike Vrabel will be speaking today to the media. We'll be carrying that to begin the third hour live. So a lot more coming here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live here at Bridgestone Arena, Patron Platinum Club. Darren McFarland and Derek Mason. Chase McCabe has put on a suit and stepped away.
It's like Superman. He put it on and just walked out the door.
Yep. Meeting time. It's meeting time.
You know, usually Superman goes from suit to cape.
Yeah.
Chase went from not a cape.
More like casual.
Yeah,
to suit.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, when he comes out of the phone booth, he goes in with like a sweatshirt, a hoodie, some, you know, casual pants, and then comes out with a suit. Not really a suit. But just dressier. Yeah,
a little dressier.
When we're here, that means it's the Predators Game Day broadcast. It's brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and bath. You can go to their website, gohermitage.com. All right, we were discussing before David Poile. I brought up, because I was thinking about this yesterday. We know the importance of the quarterback position, but isn't it amazing how truly important they really are? So the AFC East, the best quarterback in that division is Josh Allen.
Uh-huh.
The Bills won the division. The AFC North is one I knew it would get tricky. I knew, we know he's better than Baker and Big Ben. But I knew that Lamar Jackson, you'd probably go there, and that's fine. That's fair. I mean, he's been an MVP of the league. But I'll tell you what, right now, I would say this season, for sure, Joe Burrow was a better quarterback. I mean, he just was. I mean, you can't, right?
No. You're absolutely right.
He was the best quarterback. Wasn't available for a lot of it. So that had a lot to do with it. So Joe Burrow was the best quarterback in the North. Mm-hmm. The Bengals won the division. Mm-hmm. In the South, as much as it's been frustrating, and he's had quite the down year, and at one point, pretty late in the season, he had 14 touchdown passes to 13 picks. Ryan Tannehill was still the best quarterback in the AFC South this year. Mm. The Titans won the division. AFC West, we know Mahomes is the best quarterback, and the Chiefs won the division. The NFC East, who was the best quarterback? I get it. He wasn't very good on Sunday. But Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in that division, period. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys won the division. The NFC North, no discussion. It's Packers, mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers. NFC South, no discussion. Tom Brady, Bucks. And in the NFC West, that one, that one is a little bit trickier. The Rams won it.
Stafford, you have Kyler Murray. Can you say, because of the injuries?
I mean, I think Russell Wilson's probably the best quarterback. He just wasn't on it. So maybe that is the exception, and I don't even know. So let's just leave Russell out of it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to say Jimmy G. Who is the better quarterback, Stafford or Murray?
At one point, Murray was.
And then at one point, Kyler was.
Yeah, Kyler was.
Earlier
it was Kyler Murray.
Then Stafford.
And then Stafford.
And then I'd say probably Stafford at the end by default?
By default, because Kyler Murray, he was injured.
Yeah.
And then his best weapon was injured and not playing anymore. So that division is sort of a – it's almost like by default because of injuries, it's like the second guy ended up being the first guy.
That one's probably the worst example because that one's a little bit trickier. But I think if you had to choose – although
if everything was equal,
I would say Russell Wilson.
If everything was equal, yes,
because that's what we're asking.
Absolutely,
who's the best quarterback? Russell Wilson's the best quarterback. That one did not apply.
Exactly.
So that means every division winner in the league, the best quarterback in the division, their team won the division.
Yeah,
except for the NFC West, because I think if we're being honest, although there are people that think Russell Wilson is starting to decline, I don't think I'm in that boat. I think he's going to be somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Is it in New Orleans? Is it in Pittsburgh? Is it somewhere that's looking for that franchise quarterback? And then I need to see it. And if he's declining again and he does that, then I'll say, okay, I believe it. Russell Wilson's on the back end of his career. He's going the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe that. I believe that him and Pete Carroll, just whatever reason, I think they've been together too long and their relationship is...
Yeah.
Strained, right? It's run its course, and they don't see eye to eye. And I think you've got a fractured relationship, mm-hmm. and I think Russell Wilson is gone. And so I think that affected his play this year. I still think he's the best quarterback in the league, or in that division. So I'm going to give a pass on that division. Mm-hmm. But isn't it amazing? And this is why we talk about the quarterback so much. There's a prime example. You go through every division in the league, mm-hmm. the division winner had the best quarterback on their team.
And that because you brought up that, it always comes – that's why I always come back to why the Titans haven't been, but they should be, haven't been the favorite, the number one favorite without any question to – not only host the AFC Championship game, but to make it to the Super Bowl, is because of Ryan Tannehill. If he's head and shoulders above every quarterback in his division and in the AFC, then people would pick the Titans by far. But because he has Josh Allen, and he has Pat Mahomes.
So maybe you're answering my question that I originally brought up. Maybe that is a big, big part of it, is the fact that they have Tannehill.
Absolutely. It's because, you know, like I said, the question mark now is Derrick Henry. So people don't have to worry too much about the quarterback. People don't have to even bring up the quarterback's name. Because they're saying, well, if Derrick Henry's healthy, then the Titans should be the favorite. Or I'm not picking the Titans because I don't know what Derrick Henry's going to be when he comes back. But if you had a healthy Derrick Henry going into the playoffs, then I think the question mark would be because he's not head and shoulders. If Tom decided to come here 2 years ago, they would be unquestioned.
Everybody
would have picked them last year, this year, and moving forward.
I think you're on it. I think, and that's not where I intended for it to go, because mm-hmm. I wasn't sure. I was just bringing up, like, why is no one talking about the Titans when they have the best, their resume is the best. Mm-hmm. And I think you just hit on it. I think it's unfortunate, but I do think that is probably your answer.
But he's played good for... At least, if you're breaking it up, you would say Ryan has played 90% of the time, he's played really well. That other 10% of the time, he hasn't.
Okay.
And the 10% of the time, AFC Championship game, and then toward the sort of the middle of the season when Derrick Henry went out to possibly the last two games of the season. He started to come on the last two games of the season. But in that little bubble when Derrick Henry first got injured till the last two games of the season, people were like, man, this is not the same quarterback.
Well, of the remaining eight teams in the AFC, he's fourth, right? I mean, he's behind Burrow, Allen, and Mahomes. We know that. The remaining four teams in the NFC, we know he's not going to get picked over Brady. He's not going to get picked over Rodgers. And then you've got Stafford and Jimmy G.
I think people
would pick over Stafford.
Exactly. They're not going to pick him
over
Stafford.
So it's between
him. They would pick him. I would pick him over Jimmy G.
But see, that's what I'm getting at. So there, that's why I said I think you've nailed it. It's either 7th or 8th when it comes to picking the best quarterbacks remaining in the playoffs. He's either 7th on the list or he's 8th. Which would be dead last, and I agree with you.
When you're that far down,
I think he's better.
Question mark.
But you look, I think Tannehill. People love to reflect back on his record, but in this case, if you're comparing him to Jimmy G, that may not be a great comparison because Jimmy G, that is his strong. It's like they're both their strong suits are, but look at their record. Mm-hmm. All they do is win. Like you criticize, he's not. They're not the elite quarterbacks, but yet look at their records. They have success. It is true. Jimmy G has success. Mm-hmm. When he's under center, they, for some reason, find a way to win, whether you like him or you don't. Since Ryan Tannehill took over, whether you like him or you don't, and he doesn't blow you away or what have you, they win with Ryan Tannehill.
So here's the thing. We're talking about these eight.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. We're talking about these eight quarterbacks that are left. Number one would be, right now, I'm not taking anything away from Tom Brady. Tom's the GOAT. But at this particular stage,
it's Rodgers.
You're taking
Mahomes.
Mahomes. I'm taking
Mahomes. Okay.
Does Mahomes make bonehead plays?
Yes.
Do you think in your mind, like, man, I hope he doesn't make a bonehead play?
No. Okay. No, that doesn't come to
all me. Right. When you think of Rodgers, do you think, man, I hope he doesn't make a bonehead play?
No.
Tom, you just don't. Yeah. You don't. No. Who else? Josh Allen? I don't think that with Josh Evans. I just think with Josh Allen. I think it's just something about him. I don't think he's going to make a bonehead play, but it's just something about
him. The trust is a little bit less than the other three you just said.
Okay.
But still, you're not really questioning. You know he's legit. Like, people view him as a franchise elite.
Exactly. So when you're talking about Jimmy G, Ryan Tannehill, and Matt Stafford, you always think, man, I hope he doesn't do something boneheaded right now.
Yeah, that's true.
What other quarterbacks? You don't even think about that.
Exactly.
That's not even a part of their resume.
Because if you're not elite, that's probably what – don't get us beat.
Exactly.
If you're not elite, just don't get us a beat. That's the T-shirt.
Well, those other ones
– non-franchise quarterback, the shirt is – if you're not elite, just don't get us beat.
Hey, that should be your T-shirt,
right?
Man. You should trademark that.
You know that's
what
it is.
You should trademark that, man.
Because that's what every 49ers fan,
that's
what every Rams fan, and every Titans fan is saying.
Exactly.
Just don't get us beat.
Absolutely. We got enough good players around us.
We can win, just don't get us beat.
And that is why.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the second hour of Darren Donica Chase next.